Alright, well, welcome everybody to episode 17, lucky 17 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Wait, when is 17 lucky?
March 17th. St. Patty's Day?
Oh.
It's a lucky day.
Okay.
A look on
I'm
the
Irish Catholic, you'd think I would know better.
I'm Welsh, so what can I say?
We have
at
no
any rate, I am joined by my co-host in crime so that we can bring you all sorts of nifty cosplay stories, both awesome and horrific at the same time. But let's start with a little bit of convention news. Anime Fest is in about a week and a half now.
And, a little more than a week and a half. But give me a couple more days in there.
Yeah. We're not going to panic anymore at this point. We're not going to go, oh my god, it's Anime Fest. No, we're not going to do that. At this point, it's kind of the whole cosplay pros thing is kicking in to where we're just kind of coasting, and we know what we can get done between now and the fest. So we should be good.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
However, I understand that you are teaching.
Nice segue.
Yes, you'll be busier than I am at this convention. Saturday, we're both going to drop at the end of the day, but I think you'll be a lot busier than I am.
Yeah, probably so.
This is my take it easy con. How about you?
No, it's only easy on Friday, Sunday, and Monday. On Saturday, we're both going to be dead.
Well, not
then
dead.
The rest of the week is really not going to matter.
At any rate, how about you go over the panels that you're teaching and give when those are going to take place so people can come and see me?
Sure. So I have the lovely and fortunate situation of where I have a panel, one on each day, so they're all spread out. I have four of them total. They're going to be three cosplay-related panels, and then I have one that's an academic anime theory type of panel, which I had really good responses with last year. So if you want to come join that as well, that's fun. The first one is going to be Friday at 6 p.m. It's How to Cosplay Runway. It's going to be in panel room number 4. And it's basically going to give you an overview on what to do and what to expect when you're first entering a competition. It goes from the moment you sign up to judging to portfolio and to being on the stage. So it's basically the entire sequence of what the runway is all about. The next one is Saturday at 6 p.m. also in panel room 2. It's called Dying for Cosplay. And it's basically everything that you've ever wanted to know about fabric paints and fabric dyes. I'm also hopefully going to have some tutorials and demonstrations on how to use those, which is probably going to be a step above what other people do. So yay for that. The next one is on Sunday at 11 a.m. It'll be in panel room 1, and that's my anime theory panel. It's called Technological Body. I like to call it How We Identify with Robots. So it's a robot panel. Yay! And I get to be wearing Amelia from Slayers. How that makes sense, I do not know. And then on Monday at noon, when everybody is checking out, in panel room 1, I'll be doing stretchy fabric for cosplay, which is everything from leotards to Sailor Scout outfits and superhero costumes and all the fun things that you can do with stretchy fabric. There you go.
Yep. And it should be a lot of fun.
And I'll be really tired.
On a side note, for those who are going to Anime Fest, if you haven't actually looked at the program guide that they have online, you can find it on their website under the activities and schedules section, and it details a map of where each panel room is. It's in a different place this year. It's being held in the Sheridan, which is where Akon was. But they're holding everything downstairs where main programming was. So all the panel rooms are kind of gathered around the main ballroom this time. So just do make sure that you check on that before getting there.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. If you've ever been to AFES, since I know a number of our viewers are from the Dallas-Fort Worth area or at least the Texas region, all of the panel rooms for AKON are usually on the third floor. Third floor does not exist for AFES, so ignore the third floor. Everything that you want to do panel-wise is going to be in the first floor. Everything for the main events in terms of like the cosplay contest and the skit contest is going to be on the second floor. So just swap the two and you're fine.
Pretty much. And outside of the panels, we will be running around like maniacs. filming and taking as many photos as we can. So if you do see us, please feel free to talk to us. We are just regular, well, semi-regular human beings who just enjoy cosplaying. This is one of our most relaxed cons, so we do apologize in advance if we are a little frazzled when you talk to us, just simply because of the nature of what we're doing. We will literally be running around, you know, every hour on the hour to go and cover something else.
Yeah.
So it is a lot of fun. It is just a little bit frazzling. So, you know, don't take offense if we're a little frazzled when you talk to us. But seriously, come talk to us. We really enjoy it if listeners come up and just say, hey, we love your show or we love listening to it. You know, big fan. That's really cool. So, yeah. We'll be spending the next week and a half getting ready for that.
We also sound so exasperated already. It hasn't even begun.
It's not exasperated. It's just we're just standing at the foot of the mountain looking up. We will incidentally be podcasting live from AnimeFest.
Yes. Thank goodness. Yay. I'm so happy and proud.
Good news is I have just been told that there will be a room we can use for podcasting.
What that room is, I don't think we really know quite.
Well, we won't know until next week because they are still finalizing a few things for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been told that there is a room that has been designated for our use. We will find out for sure next week when we can use that room, and we will have that information both up on our website and on all the social media we can get our hands on. Tentatively right now, we are planning on Friday, August 31st, from 1 to 2 p.m. We can go longer than that if we need to, but right now we've just blocked out an hour. If that changes, we will let you know as soon as we find out. So keep an eye on our website, our Twitter, our Facebook, our DA, our YouTube, and everywhere else you can find CosPod. In fact, we may put out a little audio and video blurb, too, the week right before.
Yeah, that couldn't hurt, actually. That's a good idea. Let's put that on the calendar.
So if you suddenly see your feed update with like a 2-minute video clip, that's us telling you about the changes that we may have to undergo for our schedule.
Right.
So just keep an eye out. All right. Anything else?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of this episode.
Mm.
The stories.
Potatoes.
All right, we asked you guys to send in your best cosplay related stories to us via any number of methods. And thank you, big thank you to those who wrote into us. We were actually really pleased with the turnout that we got. And of course, we'll have our own cos stories to sprinkle in among all the others. But without much further ado, would you like to start?
Sure. Let me go pop it on over to here as a loud beep comes into my ear. Ow.
We'll be reading these from email, so if we're not looking directly at the cameras, because we're reading email.
Because we're reading. Sorry.
Yeah. We want to be accurate.
So I'm going to do the first one from Jenny C. Did not give me her last name. By the way, we're going to let everyone know what their names are at the beginning of these. Just like a little thank you for sending them in. So
yep.
Yay.
Yeah. Shout
You're
out to
anonymous.
Jenny.
All right, so she starts out saying, this one is easy and may not be exciting, but I'm sure it happens to everyone. I had to go to the bathroom while in my CL costume, so I walked in, did my business, got everything back on, and left. I didn't walk out with toilet paper on my shoes or pants. However, I didn't tuck my shirt in properly, so my underwear was showing in the back for the rest of the day, and no one told me. I was so upset at the time, but now I think it's funny. And thank you for reading.
Aww.
I can say I have not had that happen, nor the toilet paper thing, but I'm also extremely cognizant, and I don't want to say OCD, but kind of OCD, so it's like I'm like quadruple checking myself before I leave the bathroom.
There are times when I really wonder, it's like, well, if you're cross-playing, what bathroom do you use?
There are some people who do it so incredibly well that you have to wonder, are they really going into the right bathroom?
Yeah, I remember seeing the behind the scenes for Lord of the Rings when some of the women dressed up as Rohan warriors.
Right.
And the woman was like, "Well, which loo do we use?" It's like, wow. Sometimes of course, I always have to double check to make sure I'm going in the right gender bathroom because I did that once in college. Yeah, I went into the wrong bathroom and figured it out really quickly. They weren't labeled. They didn't have women's and men's on the outside. I guess they were redoing the signs or something. They weren't labeled, so I didn't know. It wasn't
Not
my
quite
fault.
the
It wasn't my fault.
Oops.
All right. So for our next one, this is from James Starin, and I do apologize if I mispronounce this, but shout out to James. Thank you very much for writing in. And he writes, "Back in 06, I was cosplaying Zolf J. Kimblee in prison form. I walked throughout the con and decided to go and try playing some of the games. As I walked into the game room, a guy not in cosplay randomly goes, 'Oh sh, it's Kimblee,' turns and runs straight into a wall. He wouldn't even let me help him up. I had the hand brace and all. Then IckyCon 1 comes around, and I cosplay the same version along with the military version as well. He notices me and runs into the pool fully clothed without me even doing anything. That's my funny story for y'all."
I
And
don't know what to make of that.
I don't know the character well enough to know why said person would be running into walls and running into a pool to try and get away. I did ask him afterward. Apparently, the guy was okay after running into the pool fully clothed, because you never know when people go tumbling into pools. But wow, man. If I was cosplaying and had somebody running away from me, I would probably avoid that person for the rest of the convention.
I think it kind of depends. Like, if when I see someone who cosplays a villain really, really well, I want to go up to them and talk to them, or I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But I guess it's maybe like if you were a younger kid and you saw like one of the Disney villains, you probably maybe get a little freaked out and probably want to stand back. I can't imagine a grown adult doing that, though.
Well, I can imagine a grown adult not wanting to be near a particular cosplay or doing it in fun. You know, if there's, you know, some sort of tension between two characters in an anime, which there's plenty of that. But taking it to the point of running into a pool, I could see running into a wall in fun. But running into a pool, especially with all your clothes on, I hope the guy wasn't in cosplay when he ran into the pool. He didn't say. But man, wow. That must have been some cosplay. I'll have to go look up the character later.
Say crazy things happen.
Crazy things do happen. This is why we ask for stories, because we've all been there. We all see all this crazy stuff.
Exactly.
One of these days we should write a book. Crazy cosplay stories. And then distribute it around conventions. So
There we
here,
go.
read this.
This helps pay for our travel. Take this.
It's dangerous to go to conventions alone. Here, take this.
All right, next story on the chopping block. This one is from, her username is Volfbee Girl. "My first costume I made was a Pokemon Gaijinka of Vulpix. I didn't know much, so I used glue and tape. It was pretty bad and it fell apart during the con, and I had to go back to my room before it all fell out. It was so sad." Been there, done that. "But this really nice lady came up to me and said I did a good job for my first time and to keep on trying when she said that, and she thought that I was sad. I found out that it was a really important cosplayer later, and it made me really happy that she thought I did really good for my first time. So I learned how to sew after that." And there you go. That's kind of cool.
Hey, congratulations. You
Promoting
know,
sewing.
yeah, promoting sewing, but also, you know, it takes guts to do it your first time. Oh gosh, I think we both remember the first time we cosplayed, like serious cosplay at a convention. And yeah, it definitely takes guts, especially to do it your first time, because then you have to worry about other people critiquing you.
Exactly. That was the hard part. So I half remember mine mostly because nobody knew who my character
Well, I was also going to say the critique doesn't go away.
No, it never goes away.
In fact, it gets worse. As you get better, the critiquing gets worse.
Gets worse.
That's not to put like a negative spin on the story. That's not meant to be demoralizing. That's just more of a, yeah, you have to jump into the pool, and then you have to learn how to swim, and then you have to learn how to swim laps, and then you have to learn how to swim all the different styles. And
No more pool. What's with the pool? No more pool stories.
sorry, I have pool on the brain because it's been so rainy outside, and we have a pool of water sitting out there. That's why I've got pools of water on the brain. Not that the rain isn't welcome.
No, we appreciate the rain despite the numerous amount of mosquitoes it's bringing with it.
Yeah. Did you have a story you wanted to tell?
Didn't you have one more? I got one more story and then I can do one.
Yeah, I've got one more story. You want me to go ahead and do this one?
Yeah, your turn.
Alrighty. This is from our listener called Night Nike. I believe she is from either Russia or one of the Russian satellite countries, which I found really cool. Oh, yep, she is from Russia. All right. She writes, I was 14. For the first time in my life, I decided to visit a role-playing festival in my city with my mom and my best friend. I've never entered subculture society before. Of course, I had nothing suitable to wear. My mom asked me to go in my Tifa Lockhart costume she made me on my birthday. No, I wasn't really a cosplayer in the meaning we all know. Advent Children was the first anime I ever saw. It was a year before. So I asked mom, she has great sewing skills, to make me a costume as she did with my previous favorite characters like Princess Jasmine, Little Mermaid, etc. Strange hobby, isn't it? Mom's awesome. I agree. On this convent, we met some girls from my school. As they saw me, they asked if I was a cosplayer. I didn't know what to answer. I had no idea of what cosplay is. They took us somewhere inside the building where in a tiny club room, a large group of strange people gathered, and some of them wore vivid costumes I had never seen before. Mom reacted immediately. Look, they have strange numbers on them. Looks like everyone's photographing their costumes. I want mine to be photographed too. Let's go get her a number. And of course, I asked for 13. Well, I had no idea what was going on, but the center of the room was suddenly cleared. It looked like there was going to be a performance. All of the cosplayers with numbers were driven into the teensy storage they used as backstage. I think we know that feeling. I wondered if there was any way back. I had a horrible stage fear based on my own teenage self-disrespect. A volunteer asked me what kind of music I would like, but I didn't answer properly enough, so he just left me alone and reminded that when my number was said, I would have to come out and show my costume to the audience. I was petrified. Looking around me, I saw that I was the youngest of all the people around me. So I tried to stick to the girls I thought were teens. They were the ones who taught me everything about cosplay and cosplayers while we were waiting. My fear grew up when they started to speak the numbers. I heard the audience's reaction and started to slowly slide down the wall. It was also really hot there, so I felt sick. Then my fear turned into panic. Quite a loud panic for such a small space. The moment I decided not to come outside, no matter what, some girl in a very beautiful Chinese dress approached me. She asked, "Is that how your character would act? Stand up!" She lifted me and looked into my eyes. "Come on, there's no way your character would slouch like that." She turned, grabbed my hands, and began to straighten my back with hers. Everyone remained silent as she continued, "You'd better keep your back like that. Now tell me about your character. What is she like? What do you like the most about her?" As I listened to my own answer, I realized that my voice became quite confident and almost stopped trembling. She smiled and tapped me on the shoulder. "See? Now you have to go and show it to them." And I went outside, all as red as tomato. I didn't know the music that was playing. I was really scared and couldn't even look at the people. I didn't see what everyone else was doing on stage, so I did it my way. First, I expressed the sad, beautiful part I thought I had to show, then tried to make a beautiful kick. But that totally missed because I couldn't concentrate. In addition, I lost my number and didn't notice that. I'd already headed back, and people started to tell me about my loss. I shuddered with horror at first, but turned again, still not understanding what they wanted. Then I finally heard my friend's voice and all that buzzing and went back to pick my number up. How might Tifa react on that went through my head, and I did it casually as possible, with a smile and slight movement of the hand. Later, I was told it was the moment everyone saw the real Tifa in me. I don't really know. I don't remember much. Not to mention, I was all blushed and blonde. After it finished, I totally calmed down. A few people came and told me I was awesome and brave. That was the first time I heard, "You're my favorite character" phrase. In the end, I surely received nothing more than patience. But when I was asked to come on the stage again, I tried to imitate Tifa's way of walking with all my mind and body. It was hard, but I didn't feel that kind of shocking fear anymore. And what's more, I totally liked it. Later, I saw videos of other cosplayers that were there with me. Only a few of them made the things I tried to do, but most of them, they just ran through the stage and went back doing absolutely nothing. Like they were their regular selves, but in costumes. I didn't like it. "What about characters you like?" I thought, remembering this girl's words. So I tried to perform the kind of cosplay that I do now. Not to set accent on making awesome costume, in fact, I can't sew at all no matter how hard I try, but to make my characters alive, to understand them, to express them, and to show them for everybody. And about my fear of stage, I still have it. But my favorite characters that I cosplayed taught me a lot of things, like how to respect myself or being cute and sexy, or even make tricks and use weapons. I already have a lot of prizes and awesome team with me. Maybe one day I'll even become a stage director with my skills of understanding and expressing characters, but that will be another story. And that is from Night Nike.
End scene.
I love that kind of story because it's inspires cosplayers
story,
to get into it.
It's a wonderful story. It's just like, whew, gotta take a breather. Okay, now we can process.
Yep. This is what inspires cosplayers is when the, I don't want to say elders because they're not necessarily old, but the more experienced cosplayers can really help out the younger cosplayers and,
exactly,
and teach them the things that you can really only learn through experience. You know?
And, see, and that story is exactly why I wanted to do this cosplay runway panel at A-Fest. I mean, I know when I started out my first time in competition, no one taught me anything. I just kind of went up there and figured it out on my own. Mm-hmm. No, there needs to be more preparation because even advanced cosplayers just walk out and walk back in not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So it's like, this is the opportunity for that. So I love the way that they phrased it because that's exactly the type mm-hmm. of thing that I want to teach.
Yeah, and I really wish that, you know, there were more panels like this, not
exactly.
just at Anime Fest, but at any sort of convention, or that it should be up on YouTube for anybody to watch, simply because most of the time when you get into cosplay and you do these sort of things, you end up having to learn by trial and error. There's no one there like this girl in the Chinese dress to help you. It's pretty much you and the world, and if you have that shocking panic, there may or may not be someone next to you to help you.
Exactly.
So bravo, bravo for the story. I am really glad that worked out for you. And thank you for being a listener of the show. Your turn.
Okay. Yay, my turn again. Okay.
Yep.
Next story that I have is from Teblin. I'm assuming I'm saying that right. T-E-B-L-Y-N. There you go, Teblin.
Shout out to Teblin.
There you go. All right. When I went to Econ one year, I went with a few of my friends. Of course, at the time, I was the only one with a driver's license and a car, so I had to do the driving. But I didn't want to have to change to costume when we got there, because it took so long to get that chest binding right. So I was in my full Ashitaka costume, shout out, from the minute I left my house, hood and mask included, though I did pull the mask off my face while driving.
Good.
The second day of the con, my friend wanted to shop at the local deli shop to pick up a sandwich for breakfast. I had already eaten before leaving the house, because eating in costume would mean risking a stain, but I wanted to get a bottle of water. Oh, what a mistake that was. I followed my friend into the deli. She wasn't in the costume at the time. And I got a couple of funny looks, but nothing was worse than the person who came up behind me at the counter. They very slowly and hesitantly said my last name aloud, unsure if they were correct. I turned around, and who do I see but my marine biology teacher. Awkward! I paid for the water bottle and left. When I encountered the teacher again on Monday in school, I had a hell of a time explaining to him why I was dressed as a ninja in the deli.
I love it. I love it.
Moments like that, you just can't forget.
I have done the whole driving in costume thing more times than I can count. It's very awkward when you have to get out and put gas in your car in full costume, especially mm-hmm. if it's in one of the brighter, more garish anime costumes instead of one of the more kind of toned down, like the Chinese dress. You do get the funny looks. These days, you might get more funny looks.
This is why I learned to gas my car the night before I do anything for a convention weekend, so I don't have to worry about this.
That's true. Plus, I'm always worried about... I was never worried about my teachers seeing me in costume, because I think my teachers would have understood, given the people I was going to school with.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always worried about my boss or my parents seeing me in costume. Like, if I was at the store and my mother would have been behind me, I would have, like, tried to hide my face.
That's my thing. It's coworkers.
See, my coworkers know now that I do this sort of thing, but I still feel really awkward showing them me, like, effectively playing dress up. That's what mm-hmm. it is for them. It is effectively me playing dress up professionally.
I show them my pumpkin carvings for Halloween, and that's it. Anything outside of that, it just feels very weird because they wouldn't get it. They wouldn't know.
Yeah, I always get funny looks from my coworkers, but they know I'm strange, so I've kind of gotten used to it. If they walked up behind me in the store and I was in costume, I'd be like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm going to a local convention. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I won't be thinking about work while I'm there.
Heck no. You call me, I ain't picking up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, do you have any more that you want to share or one personally?
I can share one personally. This is a do as I say, not as I do story. And this is from last year's ACON. Not this past June, but the year before that.
2011.
Yeah, 2011. I was like, ACON 22? Yeah. So I ended up building a costume from a series called Saint Seiya. And I built the god cloth of Athena. And of course, here's a picture we can insert in post.
If I remember.
I'm sure we can fix it later. But at any rate, this is a full body suit of armor. Plus wings. And I spent a lot of time making this costume. I spent a lot of time diagramming the patterns by hand. It was made of foam and paper mache. I made it on a dress form that had my proportions. I didn't find out until later that the dress form is not shaped like me. It has my proportions, but it's not shaped like me. But that aside, so I ended up making the whole thing. I did not get a chance to try it on partially until a week before the convention because it took me that long to finish it. Because I work full-time. I didn't really have that much time to spend on it. And it was a very messy and lengthy process. So the time came, and of course I was using rare earth magnets to hold it together. Those are strong little buggers, let me tell you. They're rated to hold 7 pounds each. And I got to the convention after taking all the parts with me. And I went to put it on for the competition. It did not fit because I hadn't tried the whole thing on at one time. Not only didn't it fit, the magnets were slipping across each other, and so the hip plates kept falling down because of gravity, even though the magnets were rated to hold more than the weight of the hip plates. So once I had everything on as much as I could get it, I ended up having to discard the wings. I discarded the pauldrons. I only had about half the costume on, which was a big problem. Then I figured out that I couldn't sit down or go to the bathroom in the costume. I would have had to take all of it off. So I spent the 5 hours of the competition standing because I could not sit. I could not go to the bathroom, therefore I could not drink water, which meant I was dehydrated the whole time. And I had to hold my costume together as I walked across the stage with my hands so it wouldn't fall down. It looked kind of cool walking across the stage, and then I got off the stage and promptly ripped every piece of it off my body, drank a whole bunch of water, and went to the bathroom. And then I threw away the costume after the con. after salvaging the magnets. So this is a design tutorial, as it were. Try on your costume multiple times before the convention. Design it so that you can sit down. Design it with panels so that you can go to the bathroom. Make sure you're well hydrated. And don't ever use magnets in the horizontal position. So that is my tale of woe. That I felt so bad afterward. That is literally my dream costume. I spent 6 months on that costume only to have to throw it away. But after all that went wrong, I think I probably spent a good 15 minutes crying over it. Because I was so...
And you learned some very valuable lessons.
I learned some very valuable lessons, needless to say. So,
not in the manner intended.
Well, this is another one of those, you learn cosplay by trial and error.
Yes,
making armor itself doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not afraid to make armor. I will not be making those mistakes again. There's a reason that the ancient Romans and Greeks and medieval warriors did not use magnets to hold their things together. So that is my tale of woe. So on that note, maybe you should tell something a little more positive.
The same. We're going to do my story then. Yay! My Captain America story that I'm saving. Woohoo! Okay, so this happened at WonderCon in 2011. I went with my brother. WonderCon's held in San Francisco up until this year. We were dressed up as Snake and Meryl from Metal Gear Solid 1, and we were just kind of walking around, roaming the floor. We were getting ready to leave so I could run out and change to my Sith costume for the cosplay contest. And as we were leaving, I saw this guy dressed as Captain America, and he looked really good. Like, he did this version of Captain America that was, like, part movie version, part comic book. So he's got the fatigues on with the Captain America suit underneath it, and his shield was, like, fantastic. It was all shiny and metally and pretty and coolness. So, of course, I wanted to get it. Well, it was. So I wanted to get his picture, of course, along with, like, 500 other people behind me. So we took his picture, and he kept getting constantly picture after picture after picture requests, could not take a breather. And after a couple of minutes, because I wanted to also get pictures of the crowds taking pictures of him, because I think that's kind of fun to watch too, I kind of noticed that he had this panicked look on his face, like something was wrong. It got me a little concerned. So I actually went up to him and I said, hey, is everything okay? Do you need to take a couple of seconds? And he's like, my phone keeps vibrating and usually doesn't vibrate for this long or this many times. But he didn't want to tell people, no, I don't want it to take me to stop taking pictures. He wanted to be polite to everyone. So my brother and I ended up making a human barrier around him while he pushed himself back into a corner so that way he could answer his cell phone. And we basically said, no, Captain America is not taking pictures right now. Check out in a couple of minutes. He'll be okay. And he pulled out his cell phone, was talking to whoever it was on the phone, and it didn't sound like an emergency, thank goodness. But he came up to us afterwards and was like, thank you guys so much, gave us a handshake, and walked off on his way. And it was just kind of cool because there's like a little 8-year-old and he was like, I saved Captain America. Which I know sounds ridiculous, but it's like, I helped out Captain America. I'm a good person.
There you go.
There's my happy story.
Yay!
Snake and Meryl saved Captain America. There is no universe where that makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's a good way to end our cost stories segment.
Yep. Philosophy.
I like ending it on a high note.
Yay!
High meaning positive, not the other kind of high.
Not the other kind.
Yeah. We're After Dark episode is coming, I'm sure. So we do have a short, longish.
We've got to keep
segment.
It short because we're over 30 minutes, so.
Yeah, we have a short cost philosophy segment on eating at conventions since Anime Fest is coming up along with Dragon Con, PAX, and a whole bunch of other things.
A lot of same stuff.
So, of course, eating is something that cosplayers need to consider, especially since being in cosplay, you generally dehydrate faster and you burn metabolism faster.
Oh, you know, we didn't think about this. I should have brought, like, some of my snacks in here to, like, show up on the screen in passing.
I was going to say, we can always put up pictures. You can take photos later and
yeah,
put
could.
Them up on screen. Of
your hindsight.
Snacks. Yeah, there you go. Eyes in the back of the head. But at any rate, we have a couple of suggestions on what you might do to be able to take care of yourself at a convention as far as food goes. Now, granted, we know there are some times when you're just going to have to eat out for every meal. Preferably, that meal should not involve ramen for every meal, nor
or
should it
involve fast
food. Well, preferably not fast food for every meal, unless you can manage to somehow make that a really healthy meal.
Good luck.
Yeah, so that aside, of course, when you go to conventions, you don't necessarily have to take all of your own food with you, but it is wise to take your own snacks with you. Especially
yeah,
if there's
think,
not like a coffee shop nearby.
Yeah, I don't think people quite understand the power snacks can have. That they can really be a nice energy booster when you're running low.
Yeah, nutritionists, of course, we are not nutritionists, but some will tell you that you should eat 4 to 5 small meals a day. Snacks can really help with that, especially
mm-hmm.
if given conventions, you may not be able to get 3 square meals a day. Now, granted, there is always the 6-2-1 rule, which for those who don't know, it means that you need to get 6 hours of sleep. It means you need 2 square meals, whole meals, not snacks, and 1 shower. And that is every single day. So at least 2 meals. If you can get more than that, it's actually better for you. So this is where snacks can help.
And see, we're very snack happy.
Yes, well, snacks are also generally portable, so if you're running around in cosplay and you have a little pouch or a pocket or something, you can stuff snacks into it. Please put them in containers so they don't stain your cosplay. But you, these are things.
Bring a napkin or a paper towel or something.
But why don't we start with a couple examples of snacks that you can tote around with you?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you take?
As I say, I always try to bring at least granola bars, like either Nutri-Grain or the ones that Whole Foods have, because they have the least amount of sugar in it and they have more fruit. They taste fantastic. I don't know why people dog on granola bars. They're awesome. Sometimes I'll do little boxes of cereal. Like they have those small ones like Chex Mixes or Cheerios or something like that. Even that just is a nice little pick-me-up or a booster. If I have the space for it, I'll sometimes take a banana with me because it seems to be the one type of fruit that's not going to get like squish all over the place when you open it. It's easier to contain as long as there's not like a bottle of water sitting on top of it that's squishing itself in your bag.
Right.
Those are really the big ones for me because I'm the type of person where I have to sit down and have something to eat or my brain will melt. So I tend to keep my snacks easy, simple, portable, and not cumbersome, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I can bring homemade food like banana bread, I'll do that too. I'm very much a fruit person, if that's not obvious.
There's nothing wrong with fruit.
I love fruit.
Generally, you want to keep fruit that does not need refrigeration unless you have a refrigerator.
Right.
So you may have to stay away from things like strawberries.
Or watermelons or cantaloupes or any type of melons.
Yeah, or even pineapple. So unless you have a refrigerator, you may want to stay away from some of those.
Yeah, I tend to stick to like apples and bananas because those are easy, those are portable, they cause the least amount of mess. But I always have a paper towel with me, so.
Usually in addition to granola bars, I end up taking fiber bars, the Fiber One bars. Because fiber tends to be very filling, so if I know I can't get a square meal within the next, say, 2 hours, it will help keep me fuller longer. Now, unless you eat fiber regularly, do be aware that they will cause intestinal bloating. So just something to think about.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh, but you just totally ran that tagline.
Yeah.
I don't think Fiber One's going to give you free bars.
They don't have to. I'll still buy them. But they taste incredibly good.
They are good.
And
It's just very funny.
Well, I'm being very blunt. I also take fruit snacks simply because they're not messy. They're very easy, self-contained. They don't need refrigeration. You don't need a utensil to eat them. They're just kind of there. Yeah, they can be full of sugar. But sometimes having sugar at a convention isn't necessarily a bad thing because your body does need energy. So having sugar every once in a while isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, those are what I take along with Nutri-Grain bars as far as snacks downstairs goes. I have been known to bring chips.
Yeah, I do that too, and I totally forgot about crackers. Like, even Ritz crackers or something like that, those help too. And they now make Ritz crackers in these little portable shivs, I don't even know what to call them. They're like mm-hmm. this long and this wide. So they're perfect to take as a snack or even as a convention thing.
I also take cereal bars. If I know I can't bring milk, at least I can have the cereal, especially since they now sell the ones with fruit in them.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally they'll even sell the things like the Cheerios cereal bars that have the powdered milk in them, so you kind of get the milk with the cereal. Those tend to be really easy to pour around as well. Like my co-host in crime said earlier, do watch the sugar on them. A lot of those are full of it, which, again, in moderation is not necessarily a bad thing. In moderation, like all things.
Sugar is fine a little bit.
Yep. How about main foods? Dish foods that are a little more substantial than snacks.
If you have a fridge and you can take advantage of it, I always try to bring sandwich stuff with me, like ham, turkey, bread, stuff like that, lettuce, tomato, whatever. If I know I have a fridge, I'll try to bring a lot of sandwich foods because it's something that's easy and quick to prepare, and it'll fill you up. And I think that's the key thing there.
Well, a fridge would definitely enable other things, too, like if you wanted to bring string cheese.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted milk for your cereal.
Keep saying all these dairy things. I can't have dairy, man.
Well, dairy tends to be the majority of the perishables, along with meat.
True.
So, yeah, having a fridge definitely helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you're fortunate enough to even get a freezer and have a microwave, like if you have one of the nice, fancy hotel rooms, you could bring some TV dinners. Like Marie Callender's, I love those to bit. I know the carbs are incredibly high on those, but those suckers will fill you up like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. Or like the Hungry Man meals, if you want to be light, the Weight Watchers and the Cooking Light stuff, those work really well too.
Yeah, Smart Ones is another one of the Weight Watchers lines.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for Marie Callender's. I admit to it.
Yep. Do you do any of the other non-perishables for main meals?
I don't, and I don't know. I find I'm able to find places where I can eat out but still eat really healthy, or I can find ways of making the fast food work for me that I don't do fast food and often in general anyway. I think it mostly depends on my mood, too. When I think I'll be hungry for the weekend will determine what I'm going to do. The only other thing I can think of is they have these wonderful microwavable pastas and noodles, much less sodium than ramen. They're coming like these things are made by Annie Chung. Really, really great. Very fast, very easy. And actually, it's a really nice, healthy alternative that fills you up, too.
There's a lot of, if you can somehow get a microwave in your room or bring one, they're starting to make dorm room sized, like real small microwaves. That really opens up your eating choices.
Absolutely.
Because not only can you bring the instant pastas, because I know they make instant mac and cheese where you just add water, microwave
right,
it, SpaghettiOs,
right.
Add water, microwave it. You can also do a lot of soups. Because
super
for a lot
good.
Of those, you don't have to add milk. You just add water
and mm-hmm.
then you nuke it in the bowl. And some of those, you get enough soup for two servings.
Exactly.
So if you want to like split it with your roommate, then all you need is a single can of soup and a little bit of water in two bowls. And you've got a meal for two for under $2. So you can do those. I know that there are some Lunchables that are offered that are non-perishable. So you can get things like the little crackers and the meats. Dinty Moore has started selling some, along with Healthy Choice, some of the little non-perishable meals that have like the spaghetti marinara, or they'll have like sausage meatballs, or they'll have various soups. They have jambalaya. They've got all sorts of things that you don't have to refrigerate. You just, again, add water, microwave. Pretty much anything that you can add water and microwave to is something you can consider. Just do watch the sodium on those, because the whole reason that they're non-perishable is that they've crammed them full of salt or salt derivatives. But that's why, just keep an eye on the sodium, especially on the soups. A lot of the pre-made microwavable soups have really high sodium. So just read the label.
And that's one thing I kind of want to bring up, is the stuff that you should probably try to avoid when you're doing convention weekend, because if you eat out 3 days straight, especially for fast food, it can take a big toll on your system. And I know people will think like, oh, well, if I go to Wendy's and I can get a salad, that's healthier. Not necessarily. They put a ton of sugar in those salads. Even the half salads, you can end up with a lot more sugar than what your system really needs. So if you ever have the opportunity to not eat at a fast food place, try to do that. I know they can be a little bit more expensive. That's why you got to budget and budget accordingly.
Yeah. Plus, a lot of the sit-down places will allow you to take leftovers home, so you can actually get two meals.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is also helpful. Just a side note for eating at conventions about ramen and ramune and things of the like. Those aren't necessarily bad for you in moderation. And if you do eat the ramen noodles, my advice is to not use the entire seasoning packet, if any of it. Just because at a convention, if you end up eating a lot of sugar and eating a lot of salt, you're going to dehydrate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you drink 10 glasses of water in a day, if you suck up all that salt, your body's going to soak up two or three of those glasses. It'll be as if you never drank them. So the less sodium and sugar you can eat at a convention, the better, just so that you don't dehydrate yourself. So do drink a lot of water. If for some reason you really don't like the water there, there are additives that you can always put in the water. You know, they have their pros and cons. And there are also the power style drinks, or the sports drinks like Gatorade, Powerade. I'm sure there's others I'm not remembering at the moment. I know there's the vitamin waters as well. Bear in mind,
vitamin waters are really awesome. Vitamin water actually has a low calorie, it's not a no cal.
Watch the sugar in them too. Vitamin waters do end up tending to have a lot of sugar in them. They're basically the equivalent of Gatorade.
Yeah, if you get the vitamin water with no calories, the sugars on those are substantially lower. So
that's because they use aspartame.
Yeah, exactly.
Which has its own pros and cons.
It has its ups and downs.
Yeah, like all things, any of the foods that we're naming have their ups and downs.
There is no perfect food except for broccoli. They have yet to say anything bad about broccoli.
It tastes bitter.
That's a taste. That has nothing to do with medical purposes.
There's a reason it's bitter. It releases chemicals that makes it bitter. You have to cook them out of the food.
And has any medical scientist ever said to you broccoli is bad?
They don't have to. I know it's bad.
You're just trying to make a defense for no reason.
No, I have a particular hatred of broccoli.
Like
you had to choose broccoli as the one. The only two veggies I have a particular hatred of are broccoli and green beans.
Because honestly, out of the 28 years that I have been on this earth, they have said everything bad about this vegetable and this fruit and this meat. They've never said anything bad about broccoli. So broccoli is the superfood until they say otherwise.
I will still not voluntarily touch it. No, thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else that we should add?
The only other thing I can think of is, if you can manage it, bring a cooler to carry everything in.
Oh, yeah. If you can, that'd be great.
Make sure that you bring containers to hold it in. So if you're going to eat out of a bowl, bring bowls. If you're eating it off a plate, bring plates. If you're going to eat with utensils, please bring utensils. Don't forget them, because it makes it extremely hard to eat macaroni and cheese if there's nothing to eat it with.
Eat it with your face.
I speak from experience. At ACON, I forgot utensils, and I had macaroni and cheese. Yeah. I won't tell you how I solved that one. But bring utensils, and plates, and bowls. And if you're drinking something that requires a cup, bring cups. Most hotels have ice machines, so you can at least get ice, unless they run out of ice. So you can at least have that. If you have a cooler, then you can put ice in it, and then you can have perishables. Also, if your hotel ends up having something like a little convenience store or coffee shop, you can get fresh juice, you can get milk, you can get bottled water. A lot of them now will sell the little boxes of cereal that Val was talking about earlier. They'll also sell cereal bars. Some of the more fancy ones, especially in the Hyatts, will even sell ice cream for late night snacks. Most of them sell coffee. Please, please don't drink like 10 cups of coffee just to make it through the car.
I do that on a normal day. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Don't overload on the caffeine, please. That is just my advice to you. Whether or not you follow the advice is up to you. But I say don't overload on caffeine. That includes other sources of caffeine, too. So that Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Sunkist. Yes, Sunkist has caffeine. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
All right. Well, that was an interesting discussion.
Yeah, we went many places with this episode. But at any rate, remember to catch us at Anime Fest in a little over a week and a half. It will probably be 1 week by the time this episode drops. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, stories you'd like to share with us, if you'd like to tell us you're a listener of the show, you can find us here.
Can't see that. It's off screen.
You'll be able to see it very shortly. Also at Anime Fest, we are podcasting live. Please remember to check our website or our social media, anywhere you can find us, and we will have the time and the place where we will be podcasting live as soon as we have that information. Val is teaching 4 panels. You can find them here.
Here or here. Hey, you can see it. Cool.
Yes, please do come support her as she is teaching the panels. They are awesome. They will be very informative. They will be filmed at some point. With all the panels that we film, unless we are told we cannot, we will be releasing them in full on our YouTube channel, at least as much of them as we are able to film. Because we'll be running around literally every hour on the hour. And some panels, if they run 2 hours, we may not be able to cover all 2 hours of it, but we will do our best. So that said, keep an eye on our YouTube channel for the upcoming A-Fest panels that we are able to release, including the runway and the skit contest.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we will catch you next time after A-Fest or at A-Fest.
At A-Fest. If only it were after.
Well, for those who aren't able to be at A-Fest, who are especially overseas, then they'll catch us on the next episode.
Exactly.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.